Gospel is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish ones took their lamps, they did not take any oil with them, but the wise took oil in their containers with their lamps. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, the bridegroom, come out to meet him!" Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, "No, there may not be enough for us and for you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." While they were away buying oil, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came and said, "Lord, Lord, let us in." But he answered, "Amen, I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Rare is the person who enjoys waiting. I think I had one of the kids said that they enjoyed waiting. I doubt I would find too many more adults or teens or any of us here that would be like, "Yes, I love to wait, no matter what the circumstance." I mean, few of us enjoy waiting. I mean, you don't get excited to wait in line at the store. You don't get excited to get stuck in traffic because of some accident that happened down I-4. You don't get excited to wait in a waiting room, whether that's a doctor or a dentist or urgent care. You don't get excited to wait for work to get done on your car or your house. You don't get excited waiting for, through a boring meeting or presentation. And most of the time, waiting leaves us, as was mentioned, bored, leaves us tired, maybe leaves us stressed depending on what the waiting is about, or certainly it can leave us wondering how much longer we're going to have to wait than if we're just wasting our time. It's about that time when people start pulling out their phones or they just get all disengaged and daydream, whatever it might be. But there's also times when we can enjoy waiting. It can even be a little bit exciting. It's full of anticipation. You get excited as you wait in line for the hot new ride at one of the theme parks, at Disney or Universal. You get excited as you wait for a wedding day or a graduation or for the arrival of a child, whether that's the birth of a little one or whether that's the arrival of a child who's been away from home for a while, whether it's school or in the military or just out of the area for a while. Anticipation builds when we have that kind of waiting. Thing that makes waiting difficult, though, is if we don't know when it's going to come to an end. You know, there's something to be said about setting a wedding date. You know that wedding date's going to happen unless God has other plans. Or a due date for a child. You can estimate that it's going to end around that time. Or even how much longer you have left in a queue. That helps, too. But so often we don't know when our wait is going to end. I mean, for example, you go to the DMV and you could be there 15 minutes or 3 hours. It kind of depends. Or the same goes for wait in traffic or wait at urgent care. If you don't know how long you have to wait, it's tough to stay ready. And if the waiting goes too long, it's very easy to lose our readiness. Your wait finally comes to an end, but will you be ready? You know, few things are more soul-crushing than getting through a really long wait and realizing you weren't ready. You know, you don't have a particular piece of paperwork, or you missed some very big important detail, or you failed to plan ahead, and then you end up having to start the wait all over again, and maybe even have to wait longer, or even worse, you lose out on the opportunity that you've been looking forward to. Now, when it comes to waiting, do you ever struggle with waiting for Christ to return? Or perhaps maybe the question should better be asked, are you even waiting for Jesus to return? Is it even on your radar? And if it is, are you still ready? I mean, Jesus tells us, he says, "Be alert because you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." But are we? I mean, Jesus could come back tonight, he could come back 1,000 years from now, but he wants us to be ready now, to remain vigilant now, to watch and wait now, But because it's been 2,000 years since Jesus said those words, have we just kind of let our readiness slip away? Have we stopped waiting? I mean, we're no longer vigilant. We're no longer ready. But Jesus made a promise. Your Lord is coming back. Now, Christ's followers have always struggled with waiting for him. I mean, his Old Testament people would go sometimes years or decades or even centuries waiting for a promise to be fulfilled. And certainly, they had to wait thousands of years for that first promise made to our first parents, Adam and Eve, to be fulfilled in the coming of our Savior Jesus. The same was true for his apostles, those 12 closest followers of Jesus that he had specially chosen to take his good news, his gospel, out to the world. You know, over the course of 3 years, Jesus had been teaching them about his kingdom, not some physical earthly kingdom, but about his active rule, his ruling activity. Jesus was teaching them that not that he would establish some kingdom on earth, but he wanted them to understand that he was already ruling all things for our good and for the saving of souls. He wanted them to understand that he would continue to rule, but he also wanted them to watch and wait, because he was soon going to depart. He was going to go away. You see, where we find Jesus in this reading from Matthew 25, it's the last week of Jesus' life. He has been teaching, he's been teaching publicly, and yet at the same time, in just a couple of days from that point in time, from when he says these words, Jesus is going to suffer and die. He's done teaching publicly. It's time for he and his disciples to go back and just spend some quiet time for celebrating the Passover and all of that and getting ready for that. And as Jesus and his disciples are on their way out of the big, magnificent, impressive temple complex, the disciples are like, wow, look at that. It's just the blocks of the building are so big and the pillars are so impressive. Just look at that detail work and all of that. And they're just so impressed by it all. And Jesus tells them, though, a time was going to come and come very soon when not one of those blocks was going to be standing on top of the other anymore. Judgment was coming, but not just for Jerusalem. Jesus began telling his disciples about the end of the world and what to expect. He says, you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. They would have to watch. They would have to wait, but would they? To help them understand how vital it is to watch and wait for his return, Jesus told them a story. Now, to our 21st century modern ears, it sounds a little bit strange, a story about 10 virgins. 10 unmarried participants in a wedding celebration. Now Jesus, he puts all the focus right away on those 10 ladies. He doesn't tell us about the bride or the wedding celebration. We don't even hear about the bride actually in this story. He doesn't tell us about where they are or what kind of oil they have in their lamps or things like that. In fact, those virgins may not have even been bridesmaids like we would expect at a wedding. They were simply participants in this wedding celebration. The way it would work is that everybody, all the family and friends would all get together and get ready, and then when the bridegroom would leave his home, there would be a big procession, a big parade to the home of the bride, and then the wedding celebration, the wedding feast, which could last for days, would start. And it could start at any time. That's why people don't question when this all gets started about midnight. What Jesus does focus on here is their readiness. These 10 ladies are watching for the arrival of the groom. They're waiting for the start of the celebration, but they don't know when it's going to happen. I mean, it could be a very short wait. It could be an all-nighter for all they knew. So 5 of the virgins, they wisely prepare. They bring along extra oil because, you know, they have this oil in these lamps and that the fire that they'll light with that, they didn't have electricity, so that was their light, and it'll stay lit for a while, and then the wick would go out. And they'd have to put more oil in and trim the wick and so on and light it up again. 5 of the ladies brought along extra oil because it could be a long way. 5 thought, it's going to be short. And they only brought the oil in their lamps. They wait. And they wait. And they wait. The bridegroom is delayed. They don't know when he's going to arrive, and the hours pass, and it starts to get late into the evening, and they get tired, and the ladies fall asleep. The little fire in their oil lamps gets dimmer and dimmer until finally it goes out. Wake up! Wake up. He's here. He's here. Look, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Everybody get ready to go. He's here. He's here. It's midnight. And the bridegroom has finally arrived. Can you imagine that? A wedding, planning a wedding when you have no idea what time it's actually going to start. The procession to the celebration is about to start. So everybody's getting ready, and the sleepy virgins, they wake up, and they're getting out of their slumber, and they trim their wicks and their lamps, and they try to start them up again. And the five wise virgins, they pour more oil into their lamps and get them going again. But the five foolish virgins, they have a problem. They don't have enough oil. Their lamps have gone out. What are they going to do? They weren't ready for the bridegroom's arrival. And so they ask, give us some oil, some of your oil, because our lamps are going out. And the five wise ladies say, no, there may not be enough for us and for you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. Those ladies aren't being mean. They're just like, if we give you some of ours, we may not have enough for our lamps. And then all the lamps go out for the procession and we ruin the whole thing. And so the five foolish ladies, they go and they somehow find a guy who's going to sell them oil in the middle of the night. But what happens while they're away? While they're away buying oil, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Everything went ahead. They weren't there. The party started. The door was shut. Only those who were ready were going to be able to be there to enjoy it. Eventually, the five foolish ladies return. They pound on the door. Lord, Lord, let us in. Oh, man, I tell you, I do not know you. They're too late. Yeah, he knows them, but he does not know them. You aren't my own. You weren't prepared, and now it's too late. Jesus makes that clear with his final statement. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Now, 2,000 years have passed since Jesus said those words. We're 2,000 years closer to Christ's return. But are we still ready? Are we still waiting and watching? I mean, when did you last check your readiness, not for a hurricane, but for Christ's return? When did you last check your lamp? Or have we allowed 2,000 years to pass and we stopped waiting? Are we no longer vigilant? Are we no longer ready? Because the fact is, Jesus has promised he's going to come back, and he will. If the heavenly bridegroom is coming back, then we need to wake up and get ready for his return. A fellow pastor once said, the waiting church is the watchful church. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. He hasn't told us. And it's not our job to try to figure out numbers or anything else like that. We just simply don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. We need to watch. We need to wait because he's coming back. And so what do we need to do to watch and wait? We need Jesus to change our hearts. We need Jesus to confront us, make us uncomfortable even, with the bright, glaring mirror of our failure to remain vigilant, our failure to watch and wait, our failure to prepare. We need to be aware of our own brokenness. We need to be aware of what sin has done to us and the world around us. We need to repent, to turn from our sins and live while there's still time. And then, more importantly, and most importantly, we need Christ's forgiveness. We need the forgiveness that Jesus earned when he left the Temple Mount and made his way to a cross. We need the forgiveness Jesus earned when he took all of our guilt on his shoulders and suffered the hell that we deserve. We need the victory over sin and death in his resurrection and his rising from the dead. We need the humility to recognize that the only way we are ever going to be ready, the only way we're ever going to be able to watch and wait for Christ's return is if Jesus himself prepares our hearts. If Jesus himself changes our hearts, if Jesus himself guides our lives, and motivated by that forgiveness, we need Jesus to help us. We need Jesus to give us the ability to keep walking as children of light. We need Jesus to help us to patiently endure suffering for his sake. We need Jesus to help us to trust him with a true and humble faith, even when everything around us seems to be collapsing. And so what do? We watch with his life-giving word. It's our constant companion. It needs to be. We need to be listening to his word, going back to that word, hearing those promises of God again that he has kept for us. And so we can be sure that he's going to keep that last promise to come again. Jesus enables us as he takes us day after day back to our baptism and reminding us of what he did for us, forgiving our sins, washing us clean, making us holy, and making us part of his family. And he refreshes our soul in his supper as he gives us himself for forgiveness and strength for this journey before us. Jesus enables us to watch with our fellow believers. We're not to be, he didn't design us, he didn't wire us to be rugged individuals living on isolated islands. Instead, he calls us to be connected with one another so we can support and encourage one another until the day he visits us. Dear friends, Christ calls us to watch and wait, to be ready. And so we do. By faith we do. We prepare. We know that Christ will return, for that is what he has promised us, and he never fails to keep that promise. And then by faith, empowered by his grace, we can be ready when he returns and brings us home. Amen. Mm-hmm.